living in a really busy and primarily a college town, College Station, Texas, home of Texas A&M University, Gig'em Aggies, I got a job with a group of friends in the summertime, and over the Christmas break, painting apartments. We made a lot of money, worked 20 hours a day, and painted a lot of apartments. But we would always be very amused by all of the many places where departing students would leave stuff. Couches, desks, all kinds of stuff, and we would wait to see how long they would last. Some were gone, some things were gone very quickly, some not so quickly. But I remember one day that we saw this huge sofa, looked like it had been through too many college parties, out by the side of the road, and it was in decent shape, but we just watched to see. And many motorists slowed down for a look, but when they saw how enormous it was, they'd leave. Now, eventually, we saw a rather small sports car pull up, and two young men get out. And we were all thinking, this we've got to see, that small sports car, this huge sofa. We watched as they removed the cushions, turned the sofa upside down, shook it hard. Then they picked up the many coins that had fallen out and drove off laughing. I think there's a couple lessons we could take from that. One is that things that might seem to be worn out might actually hold hidden treasures. Another might be, don't give away your things until you've fully shaken them out to make sure you're not giving away treasures that you don't want to part with. But I think there's something in our call to discipleship, for so often we look out at the world and think, well, everything's being done, I think, that needs to be done. There's really nothing for me. And I'm here to tell you, no. Jesus needs every single one of his disciples working for the kingdom. The call of the first disciples is a perfect example of the difference that storytelling can make. You'd almost think that the Gospel of Mark and the call story in the Gospel of John are telling two completely different events. In both, the act of immediately leaving their profession may seem odd to us on a literal level, but the Gospel writers are simply following the common literary pattern of the time known as a call story, dozens of which occur throughout the Old and New Testaments. A primary characteristic of most call stories is to explain the abruptness and total commitment demonstrated by those being called by God. In the case of Simon and Andrew, they gave up their profession in order to follow Jesus. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, gave up more than that, for they also violated the patriarchal honor system of their culture by not asking the permission of their father, but simply left him with the hired hands sitting in a boat. The primary purpose was to indicate that answering the call of God to discipleship often and most times comes with a cost. But as the Lord promises, 1,000 times is waiting for us in ways we do not even imagine for those who spend that cost for the sake of the name of Jesus and the gospel. But basically, Mark and John have very different versions of the calling of these first and initial disciples. It is not that the two ways of telling the story cannot be harmonized. They can in the basic outline. It is rather that they give different backgrounds and make different points. In John, the initial call story is about evidence for the exalted identity of Jesus. He is divine, sent by the Father to take away the sins of the world. In Mark, the initial call story is about Jesus' dramatic authority and the model of disciples leaving all kinships and vocations to follow Jesus completely. We find in the fourth gospel that the Baptist work was still going on in the early days of our Lord's public ministry as he began his public ministry. And the Baptist disciples worry that all the disciples are now going to leave John and go to Jesus. John the Baptist himself explains that this is only right and fitting, as he must decrease and the coming one, the long awaited Messiah, must increase. So in the fourth gospel, the formation of Jesus' disciples is an outgrowth of the work of John the Baptist. And the disciples are drawn to Jesus by what? They're drawn by their knowledge of who he is. And in Mark, the disciples are drawn by what? They are drawn by his irresistible authority. The inauguration of Jesus' ministry in the gospel we hear today places the narrative in the area of Galilee, declaring that Jesus came proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news." There are a lot of sermons in those two verses alone. Reflections addressing the topics. What is the good news of God? What does it mean that the time is fulfilled? What is the kingdom of God anyways? And what does it mean that it has come near? What does it mean to repent? And what exactly does believing in the good news entail? What does it mean for me? St. Mark moves quickly then to his story of Jesus calling these disciples. We are told that as Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, he sees Simon, who will be renamed Peter, and his brother Andrew. Both were working together to cast a net into the sea. Now, I kind of get a kick out of Mark adding, "for they were fishermen," as if his readers needed an explanation of why two grown men are throwing a net into the sea. But you never know when it comes to men and their toys and their playtime. And so he makes it clear that this, in fact, is their profession. Jesus simply tells them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He is going to use all of their skills but modify them in a new way to produce a new catch. And it is the salvation of souls that now is of interest. Throughout the ages, the call has gone out for laborers to enter the harvest of the Lord. We read the words of Jesus making this command in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out his laborers into his harvest. We, like there, are therefore being informed that we must be willing to give up something in order to bring the good news of God to others. We all have a part to play. This should not really surprise us, however, because there is no ministry effort that doesn't bear a cost, doesn't need the full participation of the whole body of Christ. Remembering all of the ways that this is reinforced, not only to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. To remember that we were empowered at our baptism both to hear the word of God proclaimed and then turn to the world and proclaim what we have heard to the glory and praise of God the Father. For we are expressing the faith of Jesus. And whether it be in the form of sharing our time, our talents, and yes, often our financial resources, sometimes it involves moving out beyond our own protective comfort zone. So here's what we are faced with, brothers and sisters. If you and I are also called by God in one fashion or another, to a particular ministry of one type or another, which I believe we are by virtue of our baptism, then it makes sense that we should also pay careful attention to how we respond. Let us be reminded that a disciple of Jesus is one who follows both the teacher and his teachings. It is a commitment, and if we really want to do what the Lord tells us, if we really want to please our Master, then the first thing we can do is to offer ourselves to him, to become a laborer in his vineyard for his harvest. It should not be trying to get God to fit in with our plans in life, but rather that we seek to fit in with his plan for our lives.